You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.
Okay, so I'm here with Anna Holm, OBE, and she's from the Children's Films and Television Foundation. If you could tell us a bit about yourself, Anna, your background, and obviously your role there, please.
Yeah, I've worked in children's film and television since the 60s. Okay. I started as a research assistant on what turned out to be Play School. And then I ran children's drama at the BBC for a bit. I started Grange Hill. Then I went off to ITV and did 5 years there. Did number 73 on Saturday morning, which was quite a breakthrough show. And then I went back to the BBC to run the children's department for 11 years. And my final commission there was Teletubbies.
Wow.
And then I went on to run the Children's Film Television Foundation, which I still do. And I'm involved in a lot of things to do with kids' media in general. And currently, obviously, I'm very much involved in the Save Kids TV campaign, which I'm chairing.
Yeah, and could you tell us a bit about that? Because some people, obviously, my listeners might not know about Save the Kids TV. So give us a little background about what the organisation exists for.
Save Kids TV really came out of this year's Show Commotion Children's Media Festival in Sheffield, which is a conference that we set up 3 years ago to be the kind of equivalent of the Edinburgh Television Festival for grown-ups, but this specifically for children's media.
Mm.
And this year it happened to coincide with the two things, really. One, the announcement that ITV was closing the Granada Kids production unit, which it owns, and that it was also seeking from Ofcom a very large reduction in the number of terrestrial hours of children's broadcasting on ITV. Mm. And the other was the whole issue of the banning of junk food advertising on television and the impact that was going to have on children's TV.
Mm.
So those things all coincided, and out of that, there was a very strong feeling that something had to be done within the industry to make people aware of the implications of all of this, both in terms of the impact on the viewer and the impact on the industry. And that's how the Save Kids TV campaign started.
Okay, and tell us about what the impact would actually mean then.
Well, the impact, I mean, is already happening in as much as ITV has not commissioned any new children's television programs this year, which means that they are living on repeats and repeats, reruns, and imported programming, largely from America.
Mm.
Now, there's a very ITV has started a very successful children's digital channel, but at the moment that is being fed by what was created for the terrestrial channel. If the terrestrial channel is not creating new material, there will be no new material for the digital channel, and that will just become, again, a place where it's all repeats, reruns, and cheap imported material.
Mm.
So this has an impact for the viewer in as much as there will be fewer great British-made programmes, or even none on ITV.
Mm.
And it has an impact on the industry in as much as the only place to go for a commission will be the BBC, which is also reducing its level of commissioning. So that there are a lot of people who chose to work specifically in the children's area because they love it, may as well find that they don't have a future there.
Okay, and are there any other examples then in other countries where the UK could learn from and adopt to ensure that the indigenous programming is kind of nurtured and not what you're talking about then won't have the opportunities? What are other countries doing?
Well, there have been various initiatives in various countries at different times. And about 20 years ago, Australia was very much in this position. And an organisation was set up called the Australian Children's Television Foundation, which was mandated to support Indigenous Australian programming. And also, there was a lobby which managed to ensure that a certain number of hours of Australian-produced primarily drama, but some animation, that was mandated by government as part of the public service broadcaster's remit. Mm. So as that example, in other countries there is a form of subsidy. The Scandinavian countries support their own broadcasters and filmmakers, and I think it's very interesting that in Denmark, 25% of all government subsidy for film, this is film, not television, is ring-fenced for children.
Wow.
And 15%, same thing, 15% in Sweden.
Wow.
In other places, there are various forms of tax breaks. So there are, and also other forms of regulation. So there are ways, you know, the ways that it has been done in other countries.
Yeah, certainly. Now, the Ofcom ruling that happened, I think, last month now, they've already, in a sense, ruled that there's going to be a blanket ban on junk food advertising. It's going to be rolled out in the next 2 years. And I know the Save the Kids TV organisation or campaign has the support of some high-profile, you know, people like Tony Robinson, Michael Palin recently, etc. But is this kind of little, too late, in a sense?
Well, it probably is too little, too late. I mean, I think the junk food has been and gone, and I don't, you know, I think forget about that. There's nothing we can do about that. And
okay.
In fact, you know, I don't think any of us would disagree that it's not a good idea to encourage children to eat unhealthy food.
Of course.
But I think what we now have to talk about is, with that money gone, where is alternate funding going to come from? And that's where I think we need the big names to say it is important. Children's culture is hugely important, and it cannot just be left to the BBC. So therefore, there has to be some other way of funding an alternative and finding somewhere to put it. And, I mean, one of the things that we will be pursuing, going to a meeting, I think, next week or the week after with Ofcom, is to talk about the PSP, the public service publishing idea, which is something that Ofcom is discussing at the moment,
okay.
Which is actually to create a new fund for public service type programming. And that's at a very early stage yet. So we will go and talk to them and say that if that does happen, we would argue that a certain element of that should be ring-fenced for kids.
Interesting, yeah. Now, what about the issue that kids are gravitating anyway, naturally in a sense, with new technology, new media devices, away from television and more towards like the internet and kind of media on the go, if you like? And is it a case that maybe the industry has to diversify its content for other platforms in that regards to keep it live in regards?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that this is the time when the content providers and the people who have expertise in storytelling and content need to get together with the future and the technologists and actually find the way that content is going to be transmitted in the future and work together on that.
Definitely. So last question then, and it's kind of, you know, I want to get from you what you would like to see happen in the next couple of years with children's media. If you could wave a magic wand in that regards, what would you like to see happen?
Well, I would like to see media become appreciated by the public and politicians as something positive rather than negative.
Mm.
At the moment, there is this terrible negative picture of children crouched in front of a screen, whether it's a television screen or a computer screen, and getting more anxious by the moment and more difficult and less amenable and all educated and all those things. I would like people to see the media as something important for childhood, something productive, something educational, and part of their culture, and which they have a right to. So I think it's a campaign of creating a public awareness of that so that it becomes, as I say, positive rather than negative.
Brilliant. Well, I'd just like to thank you for giving up your time, Anna, and speaking to Media Snackers. Thank you very much.
A pleasure.
You're listening to a Media Snackers podcast. Check us out at mediasnackers.com.